Call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for April 11, 2017 at 7 o'clock. I'll rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. We'll go on to public comments. It looks like most people are here for everything. Steven, you have anything you want to bring a public comment? Okay. Then we'll move on to agenda review.
Mayor and Council, just one thing I want to note. There's two separate sheets for the claims list that are outside your agenda. They are the updated correct claims list. And then just on the consent agenda, just to move the public hearing. Right now, working with MinSpec on getting the wording correct for that ordinance so they can do the plumbing planning review fee. We are the first ones doing it, so we are kind of the pilot here. So it's not ready to go. I've sent it off to MAC to review to make sure we get the wording right. So basically in the consent, we just look at moving it till next meeting and MAC should have it put together for that meeting.
Anybody else have any additions or deletions to the agenda? If not, I look for a motion to adopt.
Go ahead.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to adopt the agenda as previously amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Good. Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I've got a consent agenda on the employee project list. Have we got on
our list? Yeah, sorry I didn't update mine. Tamara didn't either.
I didn't have anything. I'll look over Mary.
Oh.
So
we'll update it and get it out.
Okay. I've seen that later on. I see it.
So I still entertain a motion for the approval of the consent agenda. Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Chief, you're up.
Sorry, most of this I forgot to send on the project list, so there hasn't been this long. First off is Zach Cook, resigned from the fire department. Him and his wife are moving out of town closer to their work, so not sure what that puts us at. I think it's 24 or 25 now. DNR grant we put in, it's a matching grant. They match 50%. We put in for a radio at $4,100, so if awarded, it would be $2,050. Then it would come from our budget, and then we'd pay the $4,100, they'd match back $2,050. DOT inspections, we got a hold of Keith Repair, who's been doing them the last few years, and he just comes into the station, does them, so he said we get the rain day or slow day, and he'll come get the two tankers inspected for the year. Same with the annual pump test, they have Craig Curvita comes out and does that. We just call him ahead of time, and when he's in the area, he can just move around and work with us. So he said sometime this month, you know, this way he'll fill us in, give us a day or two notice. Rescue 12, which was the old ambulance. We just got that back from Gary's Transmission, North Central Ambulance. I'm not sure which name it was under, but they said there was a charger was out on it that was causing our issues. So we tried it, let it sit a few days, tried it, it's been starting. they took the lettering off, but we needed to sell it. I guess now would be wondering what anyone's thoughts are moving forward, or do you remember, Jeremy, what we had in the past to sell? Can we sell it outright? Did we have to have auction? Or?
Typically just do sealed bids, advertise it as sealed bids.
We've done that. We haven't had
and then we just the would past. Note that city reserves the right to reject all or any bids. You know, we could also put, if you wanted to put a minimum on it too.
I think we definitely want to put a minimum because there's no point to give it away for anything less. There's no need to get rid of it.
Do we need a motion to go ahead and move forward with that?
Yep.
Okay, I entertain a motion to take seal bids for the rescue flood.
What did you know? What was the price you were asking? Or were you trying to get out of it?
What I've been finding for that one, it's in perfect condition yet, is they're getting about $12,000 to $18,000 for what I see, and then the off and the, yeah, what they're asking. It's my recommendation would be $10,000 with a minimum bid on it.
And hopefully we get that. Are you going to put it in the paper and can we do this with the bid?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I know we had Ancom all looking at the radios. He just looked through it at the age. I don't know. After he went through, he was, my God, this thing's in mint condition. So he said when he was out, he was going to let departments know too. Whatever.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and move forward on this rescue valve.
Sealed bids with a minimum bid of $10,000?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the seal bid with a minimum of $10,000 for the Rescue 12. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Fire away.
For the offices, everything has been done except the cabinets. They've been ordered. So whenever they get in, hopefully get them up, get stuff cleaned up and organized, and finally get back into the routine. Bowling alley, we had that. A few guys put some maintenance into it, some time into it, and had that running for our banquet night just to see how things went. And during the night, both lanes went down again, so the department had asked me to come to the city and ask your guys' thoughts on what would happen. We get it up and running and put more money into it. And their thoughts were, we had the Scotty Colton out who did maintenance in the past. He said a lot of the problem with it is they don't get used enough. We have to use it more to justify it, but we don't know how many problems we're going to run into. One thing members would ask, if we put the money into it and get it running, say they want to do a league or a tournament sometime, what would the city want for that, or what would the city be interested in doing with that space or with that alley? One thing I kind of assumed, I know Mayor Lund, you had talked about community stuff, so you figured you'd probably be looking for opening it up at some time for kids or community or something like that. And that's kind of where the department was wondering before we put in any more money into it, because I know what, about $600 so far?
Yeah.
That was just oiling the lanes and maintenance to get it running again. So they had asked me to ask you guys what your wishes would kind of be with that or thoughts. And nothing needs to be decided anytime soon. It's sitting there for 20 years, so it's not like we're going to do anything this month with it.
So what happens when, say, it goes down? Like going down over the lake, what happens? Is it the same problem over and over? Is it different issues?
It's the first time it's really been used in 20 years, Justin said we had Scotty Colton come out, and it was me and a couple other guys. He showed us what to clean to get the lanes up and running. We bought the cleaner, and he said, basically use it. He said, don't fix anything until it breaks. He said, you can spend $1,000 on belts and use it once and it sits for 20 years, or just replace stuff as it goes. So one lane went down, we fixed it once, and it went down again. We couldn't get it running, and then the other lane ran for the rest of the night and had a couple minor issues. I talked to Scotty Colton a couple Saturdays ago. He said he'd come out and take a look at it, but he said from what I had told him, it sounded pretty minor. It's basically what we want to stick into it, or what do we want to get out of the lanes. One thing we talked about at fire department meeting, you know, we talked about just like an inner fire department league or something to use, and then Justin had said Mayor Mond had talked about opening up the community, well then trying to figure out who's going to work, you know, these community events, you know, if they're going to open it up to the community one Saturday a month, who are you going to get to work it, what the fire department's contribution is towards it, if we're on the hook for all the money to fix it, shoe rentals, the whole nine yards, where the city wants to come in at that is basically what we're looking at. And what's going to break next, I don't know. As Scotty Colton said, those machines were built back in World War II. It's the same ones that Lano Lane uses in Norwood. He said the more use they get out of them, the better. He said, but you could have stuff break on a regular basis or not again for 20 years. It's just, and you go with it.
Okay. Any thoughts from the council? I know, you know, like the Lions Club has been talking about it from time to time on how we can resurrect that. And that's kind of what the thought process was that we talked earlier about. Using it as a community opportunity. I know it would have been nice, like at the spring bingo, had we had the lanes able to roll, because the kids could have done that instead of terrorizing the rest of the hall, as it usually is the case. And you know, any type of event, I think it might lend to some other opportunities for that space down there. Because right now, it really is a dead space for the community hall. I know the fish fry uses it for their takeouts. You know, we use it when we do pancake breakfast to cook sausage and eggs down there. But when anybody else rents it, there's not a lot that you can do down there. If a wedding has it upstairs, they're not going to do a lot downstairs, but it might be something for us to consider going forward. Is there a group of firefighters that are willing to maybe take a look and see what we need to maintain it, upkeep it, and just start putting numbers on the paper and see what it would take to get it functional and keep it functioning?
Yeah, we've got three that kind of pick three of the younger guys that didn't pay for solar guys to get into it and then be gone. So we got three guys that have been working with Scotty, and they've been trying to get trained in and seeing more and more of this. So as issues come up, they know it. They'll know it and be our experts. So we've been trying to work it through three, so we got more than one or more than a couple, but we don't need 10 people down there, and then nobody gets anything out of it.
I think that would be a good first step, just to see what it would cost to get it back up and rolling again, and then kind of our maintenance possibility. I know we can't tell until we start using them exactly, but like how many more shoes do we need to buy? Do we need to get new different balls? I mean, just any of the to get it back up and rolling.
Shop basically. So.
Well, I can believe that.
And that's where the expense came in, was we started talking. The maintenance of it wasn't too bad, and the time for the maintenance wasn't going to be too bad, but it was starting getting the expensive shoes and then having someone around to be there if we have events or whoever. If you're having volunteer events, then we're starting to get three, four of them a month, and trying to get people lined up for that was going to be more of the issue coming up, I think, what we were looking at.
And I guess the other thing I would say, Jeremy, is to find out from a, you know, liability insurance standpoint, because that might dictate who can and cannot be down there to help us operate it. Depending on the insurance, I mean, that might have a role of in there as well. So, Stephen, if you and the crew are wanting to do that, the pencil legwork right now, and then work with Jeremy as far as what that is, and maybe by June's meeting or July's meeting, we can start looking at it more seriously. Because, like I say, there is appetite in some of the other groups, at least that I'm involved in, that if we could use that, if that was an option for some things. And I could see, too, maybe in the future, if we had it up and running, maybe people would be wanting to rent it out for birthday parties instead of doing it some other place or whatever.
Well, it was funny that one of the two guys. I'll bring that to the fellows and let them know. Like you say, it doesn't need to be a fast process. There's no reason to rush in there anything for something that's been sitting stagnant for 20 years. All right. Then fire board meeting, we had met April 6th. There's only two items to discuss on there. There's township agreements for 2017, 2018 years. Both townships needed to know to set their budgets for 2018. And was decided to hold at $150 per unit, which is the same as both MYA and Green Island Fire. So we're sticking with what all our neighbors are doing.
We need a motion.
Yeah, motion to approve the service agreements for 2017 and 2018. The ones that are in the packet or for Washington Lake Township, the current contract we have with Young America Township automatically renews each year. So that's good. That's current. That contract's current since we haven't raised the price. So we won't need to adjust that contract until we do a price increase or unit change or something, but
I think there will be next year. There'll be a unit change with Washington Lake. We'll be going from 86 to 88,
and that's reflected in the contract.
And the, what was the difference? There was just some wording issue. Washington Lake's getting a whole new
agreement, and that's also was
the language that was stripped out was that theirs automatically renewed at a higher cost. Of $5 and not any more than $10 unless it was changed. So in reality, theirs would have just kept pumping up unless we changed it. But that at the fireball meeting, we discussed that it makes sense to have both townships pay the same rate. And so we just held it at
and have the same wording.
And the same wording in the contract, yeah.
To
the court for a motion for to approve the Washington Township.
So we have.
We moved and seconded to approve Washington Township Emergency Service Agreement for 2017-2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Then our other item we had was the 2018 engine replacement. And there was nothing decided at this meeting. We said we'd meet with the fire board again sometime in October on how to divvy up the payment for the purchase price of the truck.
Yeah, we did float it out there where the question about what the thought process has been in the past. Ever since I was on council before becoming mayor, I was always under the impression that it was divided by a third. And I think that was somewhat of a consensus at the meeting.
That's how it had been in the last few purchases, yeah.
But like Norwood and what other?
Well, they weren't there, Washington.
No, but I mean Norwood, the city of Norwood, and what other town was brought up that they do it by parcel.
Green
Island, was it? But my thought was, since we've been acting underneath the idea that we would split it in thirds, at least for this one, kind of keep that. I know they're bringing it back to their townships to talk about it over the next couple of months, so we'll see what feedback we get back from them.
From our end, we've been, had a committee started, we've been meeting, looking at some to get specs and prices, so I've been working with a vendor. We went out and looked at one truck in a different town that they just got and seemed like everyone was pretty happy with that truck to use as a starting point for specs and whatnot. So, and on our end, in the fire department, we could keep moving. There's no money involved anyway. But for us, we're just working on a plan. And last 2 years, we put in for FEMA grants. Next year, for surely, we could put in for one, and maybe even 2 years out yet. So we could still keep trying to apply for FEMA grants to get one.
How much does it change if you change from being by thirds to by parcel? Has anybody looked at that even as a ballpark on how much that?
Yeah, so if right now if we go thirds, you know, obviously 33% each, and if we change it up, it's going to be about, what do we figure, 23% for the townships and about 55% then for the city?
Oh, went from 133,000 from the city up to 210, I think, 220. It was about an $80,000 swing, which way did you get up?
So we'll just stick with the thirds then.
Yeah, I'm sure the city can find it. I don't know if it would be that easy to touch.
Right.
Yeah, try. Yep. All right, I was just curious.
Yeah, because basically you have 91 units in Young America, and we'd have 88 in Washington Lake, and then about 210, 215 for the city.
And there's never been no set policy or anything. That's why it's, we get thirds in the past and why
so and how. I think the push from a city standpoint is that for this vehicle, we would continue with that, with the thirds, because that's what we budgeted. But moving forward, I think is kind of the consensus that then we would look at having something drafted up so we don't have to sit here and debate it anymore.
I got you. Makes sense. Okay. Because otherwise, if it's an $80,000 difference based on last year's budget, that's about an 11-12% increase to the budget. So, yeah, it's significant.
And that's why we knew, and Jeremy thought we knew this was going to be an issue. So we'd just rather get it out there and get something figured out now, so hopefully next time we don't have to go through this.
Yep.
When we do maintain it, I mean, after the thing is bought and stuff, they don't put any maintenance towards it.
Well, they, you know, they have their township fees.
Budget, so. Township fees go towards the budget where they don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe got anything for the chief?
Thank you. Good night.
I'll just touch base on that with Parkside Tavern. They're basically, is it the big rib jig that they had last year? They're looking to do that again this June 24th. So basically what they're looking, what they want to propose, once I get some answers from the state though to see if we can even do this, but they have wine tasting at this event. So they want to see if they're able to do off sale. With their current license, or if we can issue. So I'm kind of discussing this with the gambling and liquor enforcement. So once I have those answers defined, and then Parkside will come forth to the council at that time, knowing they can do it or they can't do it. One of the options, me and Chris have kind of talked about it a little bit, one of the options for them may be to take orders, but possibly not sell. Yeah, because it is off-site, so there's a little bit of concerns and issues that I want to get ironed out and get it straight from alcohol enforcement before we approve anything. So.
You're up, Justin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, members of the audience. Just by way of introduction, my name is Justin Black, and I'm a professional engineer with Short Elliott Hendricks in my office out of Hutchinson. And I'm here tonight to present the industrial park expansion report. So this is a process we started last fall, and I've been working on it with the city council. The last time I was at one of your meetings, we talked a little bit about some different layout options and we settled in on the one that I'm presenting tonight. So I'd like to just walk through the report with you guys. Jeremy does have a copy of the map on the screen here, and those are in the back of the report. But just part of the background information, the city was exploring some options for future industrial park expansion. And this is really a planning document. It gives the city the ability to take a look out in the future for expansion, whether it's a smaller business or a larger industry that comes to town, and identify costs, options for layouts, and access into the industrial park. So that was really the intent, more of a high-level approach in looking at the site. The site that we're talking about is just west of us here, so where my laser pointer is. That's where we're sitting tonight at City Hall. So it's about 26 acres here, bordered by the ditch on the west side and County Road on the south side. Just to give you a sense of scale, the entire corporate limits of Hamburg is about 130 acres. So we're talking about a 20% increase in the size of the community. And I think that's important. When we get into the cost estimate part, realize that this is a pretty sizable piece of property. We did identify phases, so don't have to build it all at once. We can build it in phases as we go. As far as the conceptual layout, I'll maybe have you go to the next slide. Thank you. Hear me? The conceptual layout is showing a number of lots, various lot sizes. Again, here's the hall. Here's County Road 50. We're showing access off of County Road 50 and a connection here to the city street to provide kind of a loop access. The final phase would include the road extending further north, and the sky's the limit as far as how far this can ultimately extend, but we're showing, again, a connection point back over as part of that final phase. The access for the two lots adjacent to the county road would be directly off the county road. We identified the report that it would be a driveway access with a culvert in the ditch. That would need to meet the Carver County requirements. A couple of other things that I want to highlight in the report. We did take a look at the National Wetland Inventory map, make sure that we weren't impacting any wetlands in this area, and there were none. As far as permits, constructing the project, there'd be several that would need to be acquired. MPCA permit for construction activity, that's the stormwater permit. Sanitary sewer extension permit, so we need to get an MPCA permit to extend sanitary sewer. The same for the Department of Health, that permit would be required to extend water main. And then a Carver County's right-of-way permit. As far as the streets go, we would propose a 39-foot wide street, and it would be a 9-ton design. So we build these streets heavy-duty so that they can handle industrial-type traffic. And that's the way we estimated them in the cost estimate, 39 feet wide, 70-foot right-of-ways. The public utilities themselves would come off in part, at least initially, the water main in the south east side of the property would extend water main. For the first two lots, we would extend sanitary sewer to an existing manhole here and extend it to the back of the lots. Now, one thing I want to talk a little bit about the sanitary sewer. This manhole is only about 5.5 feet deep, so it's only about this deep. So when we're talking about extending sewer out beyond to these lots, when we get to this first lot, we're going to be pretty shallow. And I think the last time I talked to the council, we talked about being able to serve that with a gravity sewer line. That may be possible if it's a slab-on-grade building. But that sewer line is going to be less than 5.5 feet deep. That starts to get in the area where we're concerned on a hard winter, you may have some freeze-up issues. There's sanitary sewer lines that are that shallow. You probably want to insulate. We took a step back, and we took a broader approach as far as understand Timberline Products may be building here. But if it's not Timberline Products and it's a business that has a basement, we wanted to call out the fact that they may need to be use grinder pumps here to serve it because the sewer is so shallow. But the rest of the lots from a sanitary sewer standpoint would be serviced by a lift station or a pump station. The sewer is just not deep enough to serve all of the lots. So as we move forward into phases 2 and 3, a critical component would be building a pump station that would pump the sewer up into the gravity flow system. That added a pretty significant cost to the project. Moving forward with the water main, we would loop the water main back into the city, the water main showing the blue lines, being lines of sanitary sewer, and then extend water main north to serve all of the properties. As far as the storm sewer goes, a couple of things that I want to point out on the storm sewer. That's the lines shown in purple. Now, the storm sewer is governed or regulated by two agencies in particular. One is Carver County, the other is Minnesota Pollution Control Agency of the state. So depending on the size of the development and the amount of runoff that's generated, there's two things that are triggered. One is the smaller basins that were shown here. They're a little bit hard to see, but we've got them shown on all the lots. These are infiltration basins. These are for treating the smaller rainfall events, and it's similar to grassed swale, compared to maybe a rain garden. The water is going to infiltrate down into the basin, and those are designed to accommodate a half-inch rainfall event. As soon as we trigger an area of more than 1 acre of new hard surface, new building, parking lot, or something of that nature, we get into the state requirements, which require rate control. And when we're talking about rate control, we're talking about no more water leaving the site than what's currently leaving it right now. So right now you've got a farm field that's absorbing some water. Just to go to the extreme, if we pave the entire area, we're going to have a lot more runoff going off the site quicker, larger volume. So that's when we trigger the stormwater pond, which is we're proposing right up in this area here. The stormwater pond would serve the entire site and would ultimately outlet into the ditch. So depending on what type of development comes into the industrial park, there's different levels of stormwater treatment that are required, and we'd have to work closely with the developer to identify specifically what meets the agency's requirements. That's what the term is. As far as project cost, we've identified some costs on the bottom of page 4. So if you just want to go to the bottom of page 4, we did put together some order of magnitude cost estimates. So for phase 1, this would include the sanitary sewer, the water main, and this first leg of storm sewer, to the ditch, about $70,000. Phase 2, this is where we get into the construction of the stormwater pond and the lift station, $855,000 about for all of Phase 2. One caveat to that is depending on what is built in this first phase, if it generates enough runoff, we have to do calculations. If it generates enough runoff, we may have to do some ponding for rate control. So it's really driven by how much runoff is generated. Phase 3, which would be the last phase, about $600,000. So phase 2 is the most expensive because that's where we're building the pump station, the sanitary sewer, and we're also building a stormwater pond.
Justin, going back to that phase 2 part where you're talking about, like, depending on how much runoff. So if there's if the rate comes back on the runoff when we're doing phase 1, do we then have to have that pond right away, or can we wait?
You may have to build part of it. So there's two options here. We may be able to get the rate control within these smaller basins.
Okay.
If the runoff is such that we can't get the rate control and the infiltration in these two smaller basins, we'd have to build at least part of the pond. I've already done these types of developments where maybe you don't build the whole pond, but you'll build, let's say, half of it. And then that's large enough to service these first set of lots, and then you can build the second half and the rest of them.
And then would the lift station have to go along with that first half, or can we wait for the full pond before the lift station goes in?
The lift station would be specific to the sanitary
sewer. Okay.
Yeah. So the storm sewer, we don't need any type of lift pump, but the sanitary we would need.
Justin, does it have to go there, or could you move
the pond? It can be moved. We had initially looked at putting it here. This is the lowest spot in the property, which is one of the reasons why we picked it. When we initially had it here, it seemed a little bit more convenient from the standpoint of being able to possibly serve the first tier of lots. But putting the whole spot just kind of seems to be.
So we have to run the storm. The storm sewer will definitely have to go in.
The storm sewer will definitely have to go into here. You have to find a way to get it in there.
Yes. That and the pond building itself is going to drive, basically is all that's going to drive the project up right there, the pipe work.
That's correct. So depending on what is built in this area, we do show an opportunity. Let's say we just have, we can get by with just these smaller basins to treat the half-inch rainfall event, the infiltration. If we don't need to build this big stormwater pond, what we're showing is constructing the outfall directly over to the ditch, so that we can have an outfall for these properties. So that's a temporary storm sewer outlet in phase one. And then when the rest of the phases are built, this goes away, you demolish that, and then redirect it to the pond.
Are those little retention ponds?
Yes.
Designed just for, if I'm over 1 acre,
those, those are designed for any type of development that creates any new hard surface. You have to have those.
So that doesn't call your 1 acre
application company? Even if it's less than an acre, you can have these. You have these. And like I said, they're, you've maybe seen them in the metro area. They're usually pretty inconspicuous, maybe next to an Applebee's or something. It's a lower basin area. The stormwater from the parking lot usually goes into there, and it's an initial treatment, if you will. And there's an infiltration component to it. We did show a pipe system going to the ditch here. Just the grades and elevations of these lots, our concern was that if they just sheet flow off the edge, it's a steep enough hill where I think we'll have quite a bit of an erosion issue onto the on the farm field. So I think the best would be to get it into a pipe and into the ditch.
What is it? We will figure that out, how about that? How much water is on those two first lots there?
So the first step is to identify the footprint of the development. So whatever it might be, take a look at the building size, the parking lot, the driveway, anything that's hard surface. And then there's a set of calculations that are done for the stormwater model.
Well, hard surface, you mean as gravel or
blacktop
or tar? Okay.
I think gravel counts too, correct?
Gravel counts.
Gravel counts.
Gravel, blacktop. So then you do that, you do those calculations. And then, like I said, Carver County and the state of Minnesota, MPCA, has certain requirements based on the amount of flow that's generated. And we need to check those boxes and meet those requirements. And part of it is a water quality aspect, so they don't want dirty water, of course, going into the waters of the state. The other aspect, like I said, is the stormwater rate control. And that's when we get into these larger areas, more than 1 acre of hard surface. They want to make sure we're not flooding people off downstream, so that we're holding back some of the water. And that's really the stormwater pond function from a rate control standpoint, is to hold that water back.
So in two first lots, is that an acre? Or not?
These are acre and a half, I believe. Oh. So Jeremy, if you would be kind enough to go to the next slide. This is the phasing. I've talked about the phasing already, but this is how we had it split out. This is phase one. These are the first couple of lots. Phase two would be these five lots, and then phase three would be this area up here. So from a total project cost, if the developer came in and purchased the property is not owned by the city, but the developer came and purchased the property and built the entire site, all 26 acres, and all of the underground infrastructure, the street, we're looking at about a $2 million project. So pretty significant. But again, relative to scale, this is a pretty sizable piece of property. These are cost estimates. The devil's always in details depending on what comes in. Project financing. We did take a look at what financing might be available for a project like this. There is one program out there, the Greater Minnesota Public Infrastructure Program. It's from Minnesota Department of Economic Employment Development. And the program provides grants to cities of up to 50% of the capital cost of the public infrastructure. So up to 50% of the cost of street, sewer, and water. It is an application process. It is a competitive grant program statewide, and it's very competitive. Typically, they have far more requests than there is funding available. And they rank them based on things like the amount of jobs that are created, the increase in tax base, those types of things. It's something that is out there. Outside of that, I'm not aware of any other funding opportunities or grants for these types of projects.
It's a statewide program, you said?
It is a statewide program. As far as funding these types of projects, from what I've seen in the past, there's a couple of ways that it occurs. One I've already mentioned, where a developer or entity comes in and purchases the property and simply builds the infrastructure at their own cost. I have seen situations where a city will get involved and do a Chapter 429 special assessment process where the city would build the infrastructure and then assess the property owner or owners for the improvements. Typically, those assessments are 100%, so the city assesses all the costs back to the developer.
Minus storm, right? I think we went through that. You can't.
Minus storm, so you're correct, right. Jeremy.
Can't assess storm.
Right. Sure. So those are some potential funding scenarios, if you will. As far as conclusions and recommendations, there's some definite advantages to the site here. Direct access to Highway 50. It's relatively close proximity to utilities, and it's a large enough site where it'll accommodate industrial growth for Hamburg for many years. So it seems to make sense. I did list a couple of disadvantages. No rail access, obviously, and then no direct access to a state highway, which is difficult for any property that we would take a look at. But there's a lot more advantages, obviously, than disadvantages for the project.
Well, there's always the possibility of if we are able to fill this up, the other side of the creek could be looked at, and now we have access to the state highway.
Absolutely. So this is a stepping stone. It's the first phase or phases of a potential development opportunity. Like I've mentioned to you in the past, as time progresses, if there's an opportunity to combine some of these lots for a larger growth, I think there's always opportunities to do that, or on the flip side, subdivide some of those for smaller growth. This isn't an official plat, it's just a general layout giving us a sense of what could be done here. So, a lot of good things, and really a good planning effort. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about the report itself or any features in the development.
Justin, if you could just go over phase one.
Yes.
For the utilities that's in the report and just outline and show how far you have the utilities going.
Okay. So maybe if you could you zoom in on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me first start off by saying all of the costs that I presented do not include the price of the land itself. So this is just the infrastructure cost. Phase one consists of these two lots. As far as street construction goes, for this phase, there would be no street constructed. It would be served directly off of the county road. It would be just a driveway access. So for street costs, we didn't budget anything. For the sanitary sewer cost, it would include the sanitary sewer force main, if you will, from a point located about midway on this lot and closer to the edge of this lot, and then connection and construction of a new manhole here as part of the sanitary sewer construction. The water main would consist of constructing the water main from this connection point here, very near the hydrant, And that would be extended about 500 feet. So we'd extend it all the way down to the edge of this lot. Now that's what we've included or budgeted in the report. And it would include a fire hydrant. If we just construct this segment here, we added a fire hydrant on the end so that we could flush the line. Both cities have issues before with saving water. The first phase would also include about 300 feet of storm sewer. So it would include this stretch of storm sewer here as part of the construction cost. And then we did include this temporary line in the budget so that this would have an outlet. Otherwise, there'd be no outlet for the stormwater. We didn't include the cost of these basins in the stormwater calculations because, quite frankly, we don't know the size of the development. So that cost would be variable as far as what those basins would be. So that's phase one. This segment of storm sewer, the force main, manhole, and then this water.
And so to give them access off of the county road, you're thinking that's going to be a minimal cost, or?
It would be the cost of a culvert and then whatever gravel it would take to build an approach there. I suppose it would be a few $1,000 for sure.
Okay.
Who paid for that?
The developer.
See, typically what you have, this is just a little bit different circumstance. Typically what you have is city would purchase the property, develop it, and then you would add in, you'd figure out all your costs, add it into the price of the lot to recoup them costs. But we're dealing with a little bit different situation here. So one thing I want to remind council, whatever they do here, you know, sets precedence for the future. So, I mean, we don't want to deter any possible business, but the council really needs to think about who's going to pay for what, and who's going to do what.
You make a good point, Jeremy. And I'll use maybe Glencoe as an example. They purchased a piece of property. They came in and they installed all of the utilities. They built the stormwater pond. And then they sold lots, and included in that lot price were the cost of the utilities, the cost of the land, and all of those were built in the lot price. So that's an option. There's a couple different ways to skin this cat.
What about those first two lots then? The water main and the sewer. Who's paying for that? We, city?
Typically, those costs are picked up by the developer.
And the developer in this situation would be Timberline, right?
If they're purchasing that, you know, right here, I mean, that's typically what I've seen happen in other communities, is typically the costs for the improvements are paid for by the developer.
Well, if Brian's going to run a water line to his property there, he ain't going to run it. No, no, water main all the way down to the corner down there and put a water hydrant down there, a fire hydrant down there.
Sure.
You're just going to run a 1-inch line for whatever he needs, and that's going to be it, you know?
So I guess Jeremy hit the nail on the head when he says this is a little different situation. I think a 1-inch water line from this location to Brian's property would definitely serve his needs. There would be all that would be required. This planning level document tried to take a look at the big picture. So what happens beyond Timberline, beyond development there? And in that scenario, we need to find a way to loop this water main back to this connection point so that we can provide a looped system for these lots. So that goes back to the beginning discussion. We tried to take a big picture look at how this site could potentially be developed. Now, if we focus in on just Timberline and not look at anything else future, we can take a look at some options.
I know if I was purchasing them two lots and had to put a water main all the way down the back there, I'd say wrong idea.
Sure.
You know.
And I guess that's a decision that the city council have to make, as far as how you want to proceed and how those costs should be shared. Ultimately, the decision rests in your hands.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if I could be a heated oven bomb.
Industrial parks, Justin, how are they really going? Are they, is there a lot of?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a good sense of market. That's just a little bit outside my wheelhouse as far as, you know, what's available locally or what the going rate is.
Because you look at Norwood, you look at Green, and how long they've sat on theirs over there. Are they in the wrong place, or is it just the market ain't moving anything, and people just aren't?
Well, Norwood has some pickup. I mean, they have the 20 manufacturers in there, that what's the Christmas.
Yeah, I can't think of the name. They expanded.
The Christmas group that's in there.
But how many years have they sat on it?
Oh, they've sat on it for a while. But they also developed it at the heights of markets. I mean, back in 2006 and 7 when people were moving to Green Isle, and it looked like when they had Job Z going on too down in Green Isle, they hoped that they could take advantage of Job Z. Well, Job Z, as far as Edson, isn't an existing program anymore. And so that fell apart. And then, of course, when the housing bubble crashed, there wasn't anything to really attract people, unfortunately, to Green Isle or even this far to Hamburg and even to Norwood. But, and working with the, on the EDC in Norwood the last, 3 years, they've actually been doing more and more. They hired a manager to help come in and help market North America, and they've actually seen an uptick in the vacant lots being used. So there's still a lot of inventory out there, but there are some companies that, after hearing that we were going to go through this process, that have approached me and asked me about if this goes through, what's the process that would take place, that are in the area here, that are interested in this. And the nice thing about that is if, you know, if Timberline does finish the project and moves out there and that, their property value is going to increase as more businesses start moving around it. So, I mean, that's, Councilman Travers, when you ask about when or why would a business want to run all of that and do all of this process, right now, that's sitting outside our purview as far as the city goes. We'd have to annex it in anyway. And if we can plot out that land, if businesses come to us and they say they want to buy land out there or they want to develop out there, now we have an idea of a basic layout. And the reason we want the infrastructure in now versus later is then that way we can, you know, handle any type of expansion requests that come out that way. And eventually the more businesses that move up around Timberline, again, it'll raise property value for Timberline down the road and it'll make their business more attractive, and it might even be a complement business to what they do as well.
Yeah, I understand that, but I just can't see Timberline running an 8-inch water main out there, or a 4-inch water line out there with a hydrant out there, and maybe 6 years from now get something else out there. I can't see why they should have to buy and pay for that water main all the way, what'd you say, 500 feet?
It's about 500 feet.
And then the sewer line too, yeah. And then a couple of grinding stations. They're going to say, we'll go somewhere else. I can't see them paying that much money for two buildings out there.
Well, I think that's the ultimate concern. You know, Brian wants to get this done on a, I'm sure he's on a budget.
Yeah.
The city's going to come back and try to assess me this $70,000 back for phase one.
Really, that's where the tough decisions lie with the city right now. I mean, the city's going to take it on. You know, we're looking at, you know, $70,000. I would assume nothing's factored in here for easements or...
No.
Is the city even got...
Well, the thing is I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I'd like to see Brian get out there. I mean, we don't want to lose business.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing we got, water fund isn't sufficient to support improvements. I mean, we have a water tower that, we're talking about $1 million water tower coming down the line. Sewer were sufficient. I mean, sewer is very healthy fund. Stormwater is not healthy. Basically, you know, we did that $1.1 million project to do the corrections and to do the pond in the park there, you know. And hence, you know, we have a $2,750 monthly fee. That's just to fund that project. There aren't any reserve funds in the stormwater for stormwater improvements. I mean, I've been beating myself up, to be honest, all week trying to figure out how in the heck we could come to some compromise or do something, because you don't want to lose a business. But yet the city, you know, gets put in a tight spot. They also need to be able to manage their finances. So it's a difficult thing, because the other thing too is if the city goes ahead and puts it in, the next development, you know, they find that out. Oh, you put it in for him, why won't you put it in for us? And you've seen the next phase, $900,000. It isn't, I'm not talking about pennies here, you know. I mean, still a small town. Yes, we want to grow, but these are the problems that face small towns from growing. That's why they need such a economical boost or a growth to be able to, you know, fund growth. So they need kind of excessive growth to be able to fund it. I mean, as you can see in these numbers. So really that is the ultimate questions. And that's why I wanted this feasibility report done, so the council could see what we're dealing with. And also, so Brian, I've already apologized. Brian has taken this long, but you know, things just don't happen overnight. I wish they did. But that's why we're sitting here tonight, because the council needs to figure out how they're going to do this, because I hate for Brian to stick a bunch of money into this to find out it's not feasible. And same on the city's end of it too. So, you know, this is new territory for me. Typically, any development I've done, it's been through a developer. They come in, purchase the land. We work with them on the utilities, assess it back to the properties. You know, we assess them for how many of our lots they subdivide it for. You know, we figure that out, and then they know that, and they know what to sell the lots at. So, but this is kind of a little bit different situation, unique, I guess, so to say, and I've never dealt with it. And I don't know other cities that have done some of this nature.
I would say our water tower was in good shape. We didn't have that big bill hanging over our head, because we all know what's going to come. I would be more than happy to apply to Brian and say, you know, let's stick our neck out there and let's go for this, but I don't see how we can. We just ain't got the funding unless we're going to find funding someplace with, like Justin said, the grant, but well, we'd have to really, you guys start buying lottery tickets to get that grant, because there's so much, like you said, there's so many out there, but it's a shot. But how long will that take before Brian wants to know now?
Right. Brian needs to know. I mean, it's good to have this study, you know, so next time it comes along, you know, we'll have a much speedier process. But still, you know, council needs to sit down and determine always the hardest part, and that's the financing.
There's no developers that are contact you either. Are they
no, we haven't had no other. I mean, our hope was to get something out there and spur something. I mean, like I said, it's a tough situation for me. It's a tough situation for you guys, because you need to do what's right for the city, but yet you don't want to lose business. I mean, I don't. I definitely don't want to see Brian go somewhere else or what. I mean, I'd love to be accommodate him, but it's the finance part of it that needs to be worked out.
You talk about cities that develop I'm sorry. You talk about cities that develop and then they sit and they wait for business. I don't think we should be real quick to just say, no, we don't have the money. When it's a strong possibility we've got the business first. I think that's a situation a lot of cities would like to find themselves in.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we're going to have to sit down and go about it. And, you know, one way or another, you're going to have to jump in or jump out. But then also you got to figure out how this is going to be funded.
Yeah.
You know, it's the old saying I've always used, you know, I'd like a Mercedes, but checkbook says no. You know, but you don't want that to totally get in the way from, you know, some possible opportunities.
And knowing the budget the way that you do, what do you see in other areas?
Well, like I said, like I explained, the storm, there's no money there. Water fund is, like I said, we're talking about $1 million water tower. Mm-hmm. There's no money there. Sewer wouldn't be an issue for the city to outright do that and take that. There's enough cash flow in the sewer fund to do phase one. But my concerns are, you know, stormwater, what costs are we looking at for stormwater? Can we get by with minimal stormwater? And then it would just be kind of trying to work out, you know, the water costs. And how are you going to recoup that cost? Because typically, when you have an enterprise fund, they should be self-sufficient. So you're looking at user fees or tax increases. I mean, that's what you're faced with. And unfortunately, you're very limited, too. My other concern is me and Justin just kind of talked about this briefly when we went over this, is how we're going to finance the project. Because in order to get financing, as some of you may be new, but we can't just go to a bank and get financing. There's only certain state statutes that we can get financing under. And typically when you go under those statutes, you have to assess minimum of 20%.
It doesn't look like the city can afford any of this, but we can go back to the same, we can go back to the original plan, and we can purchase this property in two separate lots of 3/4 acre piece and go on to the same. We don't need all this.
Well, and that's something that can be looked at too. What's the minimum to get Brian going?
We still need stormwater, Steve. Why is that? Because it's hard surface, and that's... That has to be, so if we have to build a barn.
I thought we got an email from the county that said if it was over an acre, that was going to be the reason why it's
true. Well, yeah, if it's over an acre, but we got to know how big your building is, your driveway, and...
I got it under an acre.
It's, so you still need the infiltration basin to meet the MPC requirements.
It's two separate lots, like 3/4 acre of each.
One and a half each.
One and a half each. Oh.
One and a half each.
You plan on graveling it or blacktopping the whole thing, or do you have some grass?
Right. You have city ordinances blacktop within 1 acre.
Yeah.
So you're looking at an acre and a half. Because your building's on it, that's considered hard.
Correct.
And if you blacktop or gravel,
it's under an acre.
The building's under an acre.
Everything, parking lot, building, it's all under an acre.
So what do you do with the other half an acre? Grass or what?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to need the stormwater then.
But you still need the infiltration basin.
Okay.
And that's Carver County State requirement. I mean, that's something
we're seeing. Usually build them out of what we usually use, like filter sand, or
yep.
With a pipe down there and
these people still.
Yeah.
So Brian, is that including like say timberline and then also the storage lot? That's under an acre. Okay.
There's like a lot of ready.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that helps. Any ballpark number you can throw at us for them basins.
I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. Without
Well, knowing the surface
you know,
area.
That's really where we need to go. As far as the water main, I think where we started is you had called me last fall for some estimates to just extend a smaller line, make a one
right.
line. And that's where we started. And then the discussion grew, well, what about the big picture? And that's where we are tonight. And that's
right.
why we developed this the way we did, is because it refers to the big picture. And that's why we're talking about the size of the pipes we're talking about.
And this is good. But he's here now.
Right. Yeah. So maybe there's a way to do both. If you provided easements on the property so that you could install that in the future, you'd want to protect yourself that way. And I don't know how that would affect his plans so that you could make that connection at some point in the future, because as soon as anything is built beyond that, they're going to need both fire protection, and you need that hydrant down there, fire protection, but you're also going to have a water supply issue. Once you get out beyond a couple hundred feet with just a one-inch service, you're going to have an issue. So that next phase of development is going to be critical to build that line at some point. And that goes back to the comprehensive planning. We want to make sure that we're not doing something that will give us future growth.
Any other questions or thoughts from the council?
Right, because I guess Brian, feel free to chime in. And even Donnie, if you want to chime in on it too. I mean, that's why I wanted to kind of have, Justin to go through the report and then kind of have an open Q&A so we know where everybody stands. I guess Brian, maybe you just want to chime in and say, at your cost, what you can absorb, you know what I mean? If anything.
I was actually coming here to ask for the whack and sack charge waived yet, and
yeah.
As far as drainage goes, you can put that picture up. Yeah. City Hall out here is a green tile wall. And I connected on to that, and that's where you can connect on.
Okay. So we can take the box there.
There's a lot of box there.
Water, yeah. That's the old kitchen, you
know? You know what size it is, by chance?
What kind?
What size?
I think there's an 8-inch in there.
Okay. And we can take a look at that as an option. I guess we didn't want to assume that we could connect on anything. But if there's an option there, we can take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible if we could cut some of that off, Justin, just go to the corner and put the hydrant in up there? Yeah. And then he could go with his line from there, and we could always get some easement and go down if there would be future.
I was thinking the same thing, because you're going to have a sprinkler system in your building, right?
Yeah. 1 inch isn't actually going to cut it for me. I need like a minimum of a 4-inch coming in.
Okay.
So, yeah. If your guy could move that up to there, then you could cap off of that.
And I'm not going to need any water or sewer on that.
Right.
So we talked about phase one. I mean, you could do a phase 1A, phase 1B.
Sure.
And extend, the water to this corner and get sewer at least to this lot. Whether that's a grinder station or. Like I said, gravity, I'm a little concerned. We're going to be really shallow, Brian. Are you doing the tile grade building?
Yeah, I mean, you're still going to get rock foundation, but
okay.
No basement.
Okay. So I think at this point in time, I'd still recommend some type of grinder pump, because I don't want you to have freedom of choice. That's a real major. So you can build this first segment of the sewer, this first segment of the water main, and then, as Scott had mentioned, make sure you have enough easement here for future extension of those utilities. And then as far as the stormwater goes, we have to someone would have to do the calculations to see what's going to be required there just to meet the minimum requirements for both Carver County and for state of Minnesota. Okay.
But do you have something, Brian, that you could provide to Justin, kind of showing the full area or the amount of area? If you just, I mean, what do you need, Justin, to kind of figure out them basins?
Yeah, we need the limits of the building and parking lot areas. So,
which, yeah, I mean, they're 12 around somewhere.
Okay, so that'll change.
Yeah. What is the area on them? The total pervious area?
So it sounds like the workaround that we're going to work on now is that kind of a 1A situation where we run the water line up the side from south to north, and then we run out the sewer line.
Just to the first lot.
Just to the first lot. And then you're saying that we may have to have...
This one didn't quite make the 1A here, but the second one did. And maybe the other thing.
And then we would go ahead and what was I say?
Is that it?
We may have to have a grinder.
This one in?
So would this be enough for you, Justin?
I think so, yeah. If you could yell that to me.
Yeah.
The one that I have is older than this. It's a different version.
Okay.
If you could email that to me, we can take a good look at what that...
1A is.
One way is right, and then I think the big question right now is infiltration basins, what that might look like in the back there, and checking with Carver County to make sure we're meeting the requirements from a stormwater management standpoint, and then take a look at that.
To kind of keep this moving, what kind of timeline are you thinking on that?
When's your next call meeting?
Oh, I was thinking if we wanted to hold a second meeting. This month.
We can do that. Would that be enough time for you?
So when
2 weeks?
Meeting,
2 weeks?
2 weeks. I can make that happen.
Okay. 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 So I guess we kind of want to look at a bare minimum so we can get Timberline in there. But then keep in mind, kind of part two of phase one, you know, to lead into, you know, the second phase. Okay. Yeah.
Then when you do that 1A drawing and whatever mapping you do for us for a visual sample, we want to show where we want to keep those easements in place.
Because if we get by with these. With these low holding ponds, retention ponds, we can eliminate that storm sewer too off of there. So, I mean, that little bit in the first phase, and the rest of it probably eventually, and when the street goes in, the second phase and catch basins.
So, Donnie, where do you think the overpiercing comes then from? Is it back here?
No.
Or is it back farther up from the bottom middle of that?
And actually, when we dug Kerry Buckatee's house that time, it ran right through the middle of his house. So we had to,
And that's why it's positioned that way.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
The line around Kerry's house will hook on the other end and it goes straight to the ditch.
So that's the
image
line?
Well, that was big coming up.
Yeah, I think it's a 12 inch.
Probably even a 12.
Oh, jeez.
It's a three, but it's all clay. No. It's a clay tile line.
Clay tile. So we know.
You just look at it and it cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
expose it to air. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it a long time, but it's still working.
Council, anything else?
I know these guys are, Donnie wants to start planning, and you know, it's been a pretty time factor here. How long
before we can tell you guys to go ahead.
Okay. How about if I come back in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Except we'll do a second meeting.
Yep.
Anything else, Council?
My guys excavator guy waiting for the
call. I had engineer assist me with this, Brent Beavitz. I could see if he's got some availability to help me out. I'll have to check my schedule too if I'm available for that meeting. If nothing else, I'll Brent come if that's okay.
Okay, sure, that'd be fine.
He helped the report, he's familiar with it.
He's familiar.
So that'll maybe help push it along.
Okay.
If I can get someone else to help me out.
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Donnie?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be corn fired up here because I have soybeans coming up. The guys are going to be coming in there pretty quick.
That's right. That's what I figured. I mean,
not 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Unless it keeps raining.
Down.
We'll try to turn around as quickly as we can. It won't be this week, but I'll try to get it early next week.
When we, let's say we're able to get it turned around in the 2 weeks that what you have to do, Justin?
Yeah.
What's the timeline for all the things we have to do from a survey and all that other stuff you mentioned at the beginning of that conversation?
You know, I hate to say it, but I mean, it's probably a month at least to get that all together. You know, we'll have to get a sanitary sewer extension permit to the MPCA, a Department of Health extension permit for the water main. To the, you know, and part of that is their timing requirements for review and approval. So just for us to get our things together, to be honest with you, it's probably going to be a month and then get the permits in place, and if these things don't move quickly.
Then we're at the mercy of MPCA to get their stuff done.
Correct. Because they'll have to approve this as a extension. And I think, Jeremy, you and I talked, the moratorium's off, correct?
Yes, correct.
Because at one point there was a moratorium on any future growth.
And we're not talking a big...
Not talking
user
about
here, so, you know, high industrial user.
What's your sewer usage? Is it a restroom or?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, they won't be a big
user. It's not Seneca Foods canning factory.
Right.
No.
Just to get them to move along with the process.
Yeah.
And then after that, if it went, once everything goes through, we just have to go through the bidding process.
You would.
2 weeks.
21 days.
So if I'm reading the timeline right, just so everybody is getting the picture here, if everything's back from you and we greenlight the project from the city's end standpoint, meaning that whatever funding we figure out that we're going to do, or financing we're going to do, we're still probably looking 6 to 8 weeks before a shovel can go on the ground, right?
At least.
At least.
I'd say 8 weeks.
And that, by that time, the corn will probably be about shit high. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to make any promises I can't keep. I would say 8 weeks would be the short timeline.
Okay.
There, can they do the annexation thing before that?
You can do that in the meantime.
Yeah, you could have two concurrent processes, the annexation and the...
So, and the annexation won't make it a whole heck of a lot of difference with the farming aspect.
Oh, no, I know that. But, I mean, at least one thing will be done, and it's moving forward. That's the main thing, you know. And that way they...
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go up and purchase the property either yet until I know what's going to get
assessed. Right.
Back to me.
Yeah.
Which is obviously up to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and we'll have to talk about that, but as we said, it's a $70,000 project the way it sits now. Hopefully it'll be a lot less
when it
comes in. But when those numbers come in, just keep in mind if we decide not to find it, if we don't get alternative sourcing and funding and the city ends up putting the money up, just divide that number by 5,000, and that's what we have to raise the tax base in December. So,
is it such a thing that our sewer is looking at what Justin got in here for the sewer from phase one and the water pretty much balances out? Would it be that we could borrow from one? Would we borrow from the sewer?
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Is that not something you recommend?
It'd go against my accounting principles. That's how the city got in trouble years ago, to be honest.
Well, I know that, but I just...
There may be a statute or two.
In there, yeah, you might not be allowed to.
Do that.
I believe you can borrow, you can either levy or transfer money from the general fund to that fund. So that's what you'd have to do. So that's why I was saying it would typically be user rates or tax levy increase. I'll double check on that with our auditors, but I'm pretty sure you can't be taking money out of an enterprise fund for a separate, yeah.
We do that all the time.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that was, yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Which account do we have that's in good standing right now?
Sewer. Sanitary sewer.
So do we have enough in the sewer to cover the sewer phase of phase one?
That we probably would. I mean, I'd have to look again, but there's almost $300,000 in the sewer fund.
We're shortening that up quite a bit.
That would be less money we would have to assess right back to taxpayers.
Yeah, in future.
If we got that money in that fund.
Right, so we could maybe look at completing the whole kind of first phase of...
At least that portion.
For sewer.
I mean, just
because that fund's healthy. You know, it's just working out the minor details with the other two. And if we can get by on the, you know, basins... At a minimum cost and water, so that's something. You know, it's a tough situation for everybody, you know. But, you know, it's something that we definitely want to grow. We definitely want to get something out there. I'm still standing behind, you know, want to try to do everything we can to get Brian out there. But we also got to make sure we, you know, manage our
We're pretty much counting on you finances. Because you're the one that's got to check.
Yeah.
What we're going to...
Well, once we get...
How we're going to be able to swing it, you know, if we can swing it.
Right.
And then it's going to be yes or no.
Right.
Not going to be, well, maybe if we should have done this or
no, it's, that. Yeah, it's got to be one or the other.
It's got to be one or the other. But you got to come up with the numbers and let us know that.
Yep. So as soon as Justin gets something to me, then I can bring forth the, you know, the finances of the city.
Yeah. Anything else?
Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Justin. All right, so we're on it. Probably a motion to hold a second meeting in April on April 25th at 7 o'clock.
Second. So moved and seconded to hold the second meeting of the month on April 28th at 7 o'clock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
25th.
25th,
I'm sorry.
25th,
right.
25th. Correct. Yep. Thanks, Justin.
I just make sure you guys are waiting. All right.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your patience.
Old city business.
All right. So, kind of first thing is the county transportation sales tax, which we had the county out here giving their presentation on it last meeting. It's one thing I want to point out. You'll see there's a public. Notice of public hearing. So they are moving forward next Tuesday. They're going to hold a public hearing at 4 o'clock, for the sales tax. One thing Chris had brought to my attention is if we wanted to look at any type of letter or something similar to like Chaska wrote, or if we want to give our 2 cents or we just want to let it lie and see how it plays out. So I just kind of have it on the agenda to see council's thoughts, because it is moving forward.
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with us offering up our opinions. It just depends on what we want that opinion to be. Do we want it to be from the council, or do you want it to be...
Are you going, Chris?
You're going to try to be there. I have a couple things I got to move around.
You'd be our spokesman.
So what are the thoughts of the pub council? I mean, is this something we want to see take place? The list grew a little bit since the last conversation. There were some county road issues that were added to it, so it's not as quite as in balance. The state is still on it. The far, far out projects actually does include County Road 50 out here, which they would widen and actually put shoulders on, which would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's way down. They'll have to go and overlay this anyway at some point in time. And that's when the shoulders are going. So based on the, at the, Carver County leaders meeting that I was at, that project, if everything went right and they passed this levy and they put the tax on and the tax revenue came in like it was proposed to, and then they were able to maybe get some matching funds, based on that, the spreadsheets, that road would be done in like 2030. Or 2035.
Yeah.
Now there wasn't anything. that said if it didn't happen. One of the things I asked at the Carver County leader meeting again was they complained that they didn't get much feedback from the general public. You know, they have a website that we can go to as any general person in Carver County. They had 11 people had given feedback to it, and while they were talking about it, their feedback, I had pulled up the Carver County Facebook page, and I said, well, maybe an item would be is to put it on your Carver County Facebook page so people can share it. And the look I got was like, what's Facebook? So I was like, how are you not using social media? I mean, especially in this day and age, when you can promote things so easily and so quickly to so many people, that why not use that? And to this, I checked it before the meeting, it's still not up, so my suggestion is on the website. But I did ask them again in the meeting, I said, what percent of the budget is transportation? And they still didn't have the answer I was looking for. They don't know what percentage it is. It's only going to increase, this tax is going to bring in about $4 million a year. Roughly, give or take, 4 to 6 million a year. So my question was, well, if 4 million is 10% of the budget or 5% of the budget, can't you get it some other way from some place else in the budget right now? They didn't have an answer, and they kind of danced around their answer to my question.
One thing that I found interesting after reading the letter from the Chaska mayor, I don't know why he would have anything against anything, because if you look at this sheet, they're in the damn middle of this. That's going to take care. It's all down in that area.
Yep. Right.
And I guess Mr. Ishii said that night, they paid, 68% of the property taxes come from Victoria, Chaska.
Chaska.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, I understand that. Come on, can't even include one road out here for us? But then we're supposed to go ahead and just say, yeah, let's do that for the people down there to have easy access.
Our tough part, too, is that we just had through town County Road 50 done recently. So in town, we really don't have a county road that we really have to worry about in that. But yeah, it would be nice if they put shoulders sooner than later. On the rest of County Road 50.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked that night,
and 30.
Normal, we had so much dirt, we had to get rid of dirt. I mean, it was all good clay. Just by, well, we don't have enough right of way or whatever. Well, even if you just took it and built that shoulder out another foot and sloped it down, it's better than go on. Mm-hmm. Because if you look now on the corner where the glass is laying, you're almost there. Yeah. I mean, you rolled over there and, you know.
So I guess the question is, there's nothing that says that we have to do a resolution like Chaska did. There's nothing that we have to do, or we have to address the resolution they brought before us. We can either just let it go by the wayside, or we can be opinionated on how we want to do it. Just depends on what we want to do. But I guess if you are thinking about the pros and cons and behind whether we do one way or the other, we're at the end of the county line. We don't have a lot of demands on the county commissioners, really. So we're not, I don't think our, unfortunately,
and I say this unfortunately because I don't think our voice is really going to sway one way or another. Now, if we were like Norwood, or if we were Chaska, or a Laconia, or a Victoria, or Chanhassen, you know, they're going to be able to maybe make some waves with their voice. But with that lack of wave movement, we can be pretty loud if we want to, and not worry about any repercussions coming back our way by ways of nothing being done from the county aspect. So.
And getting done now, so we're not losing anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, so
New Jersey feels the same way. I mean, I talked to a couple of guys that matter too.
So, I mean, so if there's any strong opinions that anybody has, I'll carry them to the meeting. And that, you can go from there, unless you guys have a strong opinion, you guys want to do something from the resolution side.
I can be wasteful. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know what the other three think here, but as far as I'm concerned, your voice will, you know what to say and what to do, so you know how we feel. It's not going to make any difference, but at least get your thoughts in.
Kind of be heard, so yeah.
Well, if you guys think of anything else, email Jeremy, and Jeremy will send the email on to me before the meeting. If you want to send a carrier pigeon,
that's about it.
It must have been your carrier pigeons that came over my car while I was gone on vacation. My mirror is just poked.
I left the message for you.
You did, yeah. Thanks a lot. Alright, let's move on. County Road Maintenance Agreement.
Yeah, so they finally kind of put it together and really kind of simplified, the agreement. There's just one thing though, I'm kind of disappointed in. I kind of was reading through it. And this is just for basic maintenance. So this doesn't include, construction, mill and overlay, or anything of that. So this just kind of outlines the maintenance part of it. I don't know if the council has any concerns or objections to the agreement they want to bring forth to the board. I mean, the only thing I have is where they're kind of talking, it gets a little bit confusing where they talk about what the county's to take care of and what the city's to take care of, and then they'll reimburse the city for, compensation. I mean, personally, I think from the understanding I had when they were going to do this is that the county would kind of take care of their responsibility and keeping their aid, but there's nothing in here about that. So that's one of the things I wanted to touch base on, that how they're outlining that, we won't be receiving, any County Road 58. I mean, cause that was in the other agreement, but unless someone else seen it, I didn't see it in here where they talked about that. So that was kind of the only thing I had, is that they would outline and define that. And so everybody knows that. And then also that whatever we owe, for the 50 overlay, they talked about by doing that and us agreeing to that, that they would waive those remaining expenses. So I would like that outline just so we don't get on the hook for anything. Because what we had is they redid mill and overlaid 50. Was it 2012 already? Gosh darn. And then what they were going to do is just keep our County Road 58 for our payment. Until, we paid off our portion for the city's portion, and then then they'd redistribute the aid. But then what they came and proposed was that they'll kind of maintenance everything, but then they'll keep the county aid that they get and they won't be distributing any to the cities. And then at that, if we agreed to that, then they would waive our remaining costs owed for the County Road 50 overlay. So I want to have that, make sure that we're on the same page. And this is just kind of the draft process that they just put out now. So I think next meeting, I'll have it on the agenda again and discuss it more and try to get them answers. And if the council has any questions, concerns, please forward them to me and I will try to get them answers for the next meeting. So.
Any questions anybody have about the maintenance agreement as of right now?
But you were talking about, Jeremy, about than waiving the cost of what they did so far. But they'll do that every time they do like an overlay.
Well, see, no, that's not defined in here.
Oh.
So this one, they must be doing another agreement for, and I don't know if they're going to do it on a project basis or they're going to have a new policy for mill and overlay and recon or what, that I don't know. Because they've really kind of, if you remember, they had it all in one and then they had all these other stipulations in and it, now they've really just kind of simplified it.
Yeah. And that's good, but I mean, that's good for this work, 150 getting done, but we're not, say, in 10 years or 5 years, whenever they do it again, they're going to just do it at no cost to us or?
See, that I don't know. I don't have that document. We just have the, you know, the maintenance agreement, you know, basically, so it'd be basic things from snow plowing, street sweeping, crack sealing, seal coating, those type maintenance issues.
Yeah, so you had the street swept ready to recharge that back to them for that road for Conway 50 or a week? That's a good cost.
No, they did 50 and then Lonnie went over.
Oh, well, they were in town.
They went over and did 50. The county did. That was last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, we'll find out more and then we'll talk about it next at a future meeting. So the crosswalk at County Road 50?
Yeah, so I guess that's something I thought I'd put in here what they, kind of the requirements were on this. Thing is, I guess I just wanted to bring it forth to council and see if they want to look at pursuing getting that crosswalk in there. So kind of basically what we would have to do is have, typically what they want is when you see a crosswalk, there's two ped ramps, you know, so you got the ADA regulations met and a sidewalk. So I don't know if we want to pursue it, looking at cost to maybe put the ped ramps in so that way they would at least, you know, consider putting a crosswalk in, or we want to leave it as is, or
where would we put this pyramid?
Well, we probably try to put it on a corner of Brad Street there.
Yeah, that's and, when it comes out by the bank, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then across to the park. So the other thing is then you kind of got a crosswalk, so it'd be going this way across 50, you know, as we come.
Right.
You know.
So it'd be pet ramps. With no sidewalk. Just to
well, that's, yeah, line. That's what I mean. It's
kind of head ramps to nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah Fell on the bridge.
So it's kind of.
I mean, I understand what Steve was getting at with putting it up there and stuff too, but it looks kind of dumb when you put something in and it won't go any twice.
Right.
I mean, I don't think we've had any incidents there where anybody's gotten hit or anything.
A long time ago, we had a kid get hit there once.
Really?
Yeah. That's probably 15.
But that wasn't for lack of crosswalk.
No. No, it's just
from one side of the road to the other.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, you can put it there and if there's not a sidewalk or not, who says they're going to use it?
Right.
They go towards the park, towards the
mom. Biggest problem we find is the lack of supervision, to put it nicely.
For the kids, yeah.
Yes.
I guess my concern was on the crosswalk was, and it's not necessarily the kids so much as the people barreling down that road at 50 miles an hour and down there. I mean, a kid can be darting in and out, but even a person walking along or even on a bicycle along like that 50 by 8, but, you know.
Maybe that's where we put our new radar
sign.
I just was looking at it today.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to let you know the sign?
Yep. We had one in the budget, and I found one for about $2,500, and we had $3,000 budgeted for it, so.
Well, that ain't that narrative. When you're going out of town, that's when people...
Yeah. If the cops are definitely in Clayton's house.
Same here.
Yep.
They come around that corner, and they're doing about 40, 45 by the time they...
Yeah. I mean, if the cops have a true in Clayton's house in the morning and afternoon, Carver County be driving their own Rolls Royces. I mean, anything they wanted.
So there, you know, and that's good input for us to know in the office. So then that way, you know, we can put that sign up, see if it helps.
Yeah, because in the meantime, I'm going to start throwing alarm clocks at people in the morning. Just as a reminder, give yourself an extra 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
at the cruise set of 75.
Put a sign up. Tree alarm clocks if you need one.
Yeah.
I know they're nice because when I come in by the cemetery in Norwood in the morning, I catch myself once in a while coming in.
What time is that, Tim? What would you say typically? Because I can let the officers know. Just sit there.
Quarter to six.
A quarter six.
I might get accelerated by the car wash. Well, I mean, all morning. It's crazy. But I agree with you. Like, I see, I've noticed coming into Plato from the north, I'll catch myself. You know, it's a pet peeve of mine, but I see that flashing up. I'm like, oh, crap. You know,
yeah.
Right? It's a good reminder. Right? I think they're really good. Yeah.
So maybe if they just sit on William Street there?
Yeah, they
hand out a ticket or two where it gets around, and that'll take care of that issue for a while anyways. I can definitely suggest that.
And there's a bus stop right there, and the kids are wrestling their own, they're pushing each other.
I mean, it's all morning.
Okay.
We have 4:30 sometimes.
Okay.
People are
gone. I think we just put the cop out there. That'll get people's attention. Okay. Definitely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Come sit on William Street. That way he's a little...
Yeah.
Doesn't get seen, you know, coming into town.
Yeah, it's a good place to sit.
So remember that when you guys are going to work.
I go there.
Is there any more on the crosswalk?
No. If we had the crosswalk there and someone did end up getting hurt, I mean, that would kind of keep us from being liable.
It's county road, so it ain't even our liability.
Really?
Yeah, technically. Yeah. You know, when you look at it that way. Right, we're just trying to do due diligence here to, you know.
Community center and community hall repairs?
I'm working on getting bids right now for the roofs. So I've gotten two of them. So I'm trying to get a few more, and then I'm trying to get somebody out that does that Conklin coating for the all, for the round roof. So basically what we had in the budget was to redo the round roof at the hall and this roof here. So, was it Thursday or Friday? I can't remember. I had a company come out and they looked at it too and they said it's in rough shape. So, one thing I'm going to propose to the council, quite a cost savings if we look at 50-year shingles. What are your thoughts of putting shingles on a tin building?
Like the ones we did on that.
No, them are steel.
Oh.
That was steel siding, looked like shingles.
Yeah.
Contractors?
Yeah. I mean, they say they got 50-year shingles, but, you know, I've heard that before. What is 50, 35? You know?
The wind we get out there, there's nothing blocking the wind coming in.
You know, otherwise, I've gotten prices for, I believe this is 29 gauge.
29, okay.
For 29 and 26, so that's what I'm, just to see the price difference. To.
This roof on, for shingles on this roof is pretty flat. I mean, I don't even know if it's a 412, is it? I doubt it. I mean, plus with the snow on there, the tin there.
At least slides off. Right. Mm-hmm.
But I know it's got to get done.
Yeah.
You've seen the picture.
Oh, yeah.
We can fix that one wall already. I mean,
okay. Sounds like another one of shingles.
So, working on that. And if anybody knows, I am all in favor of anybody local that you know that works in commercial roofing or that wants to take, that can take on this project, you know, as long as they're bonded. And insured.
Boston.
Yeah, I already went there. Okay. So anybody else, please email me, because it helps me and Greg. I mean, I'm not in the construction field, so I'm usually, you know, Googling and going with that.
Yeah.
But if you know local people that do good work, that helps too. So feel free to email any contact info if anybody thinks of anybody.
More contact. Keep in mind Bowman Exteriors, see what he thinks.
Yeah. And talk to Dave on that too. And then just move on to the next item then. Going into that, Larry with Rob's Electric was on vacation. He finally came out today. So we went around town. We looked at water treatment plant. the monument, the other flagpole, and even at the hall. So what we looked at was replacing the floodlight at the hall, facing to the south, and then on the ramp along there. Them old, halogens or them sodium bulbs that take 5 minutes to warm up. And he says they suck juice compared to, you know, LED. And he says a lot of times you're looking at, you know, 2-3 years, and they're paid for, but the cost difference. So he just came out today, so he's going to put some estimates together. So I should have them for, you know, our second April meeting. So then we can look at them all together and make a decision what we want to do. If we want to, you know, if it's kind of cost effective, maybe do it all this year, or we can do half this year and half next year, and, you know, or make it a budget item. So, and then along with that, if you noticed, we've gotten some feedback on the streets. They've changed all the lights out.
Yeah.
Some like it, some don't. So, kind of getting mixed reviews, so that's all complete now. So if you haven't noticed or paid attention, it's all done. And these are more directional versus for the other light, we kind of spread out. So.
And then just, council, just remember that if anybody asks you about it, it's Xcel Energy.
Yeah.
It's their, it was their purview. We didn't get a yay or nay on that one. So I know some people are questioning why the city of Hamburg would do such a job.
It won't be changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we didn't push it.
We weren't, it wasn't our baby.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay.
So just in case anybody's like talking about it and saying, well, I can't believe the city would do that. Well, we didn't have a say in it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a budget, so.
And then we'll see when we get the next bill, see what we're looking at cost savings, so then I can forward that on. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of savings we have there. And then just another thing with Old City Business, I just want to touch base on this. Kurt Reitz does our water and sewer. He helps Greg. I just wanted to make quick note that Greg did go and take his test Wednesday. We won't know for 2-3 weeks whether he passed or not. So something to consider is, my suggestion would be, is to keep Kurt on until Greg's totally comfortable operating that plant himself. And maybe at that time, even have Kurt maybe on a little standby. So something to consider. So hopefully maybe the next meeting we should know where we're at that way. And also I know Kurt, he had some surgery done, so he's kind of out of commission for the next 2 to 4 weeks. So.
Isn't Kurt on just a... Call
him, he will if we have an emergency, but otherwise he typically comes 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Okay. And what we talked about, I talked to Kurt about, you know, even if it was just 1 day a week,
okay.
You know, he's on, reduce. And
he's on the mend for 2 to 4 weeks, so it'll be a good test to see if
yeah.
if Greg can handle the duties by himself.
Yep.
All right, go on to new business, animal impound repair.
Yeah, so that's...
Another thing for the old business. Have we got that estimate for the doors and the desk? That's all.
I was going to bring that up here.
Oh, I thought that was...
So, well, let's just touch base while we're on it.
Okay.
So what we've got with, I mean, estimates, we're looking at anywhere from, what, $2,500 to $3,500 for a desk. We did get estimates. We're looking around the $1,000 mark for the Dutch doors. We talked about two doors, but my theory is, why put two Dutch doors in? Why not just take that existing door and move it over to in between the offices? I mean, either door is going to be open or closed. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't see no need for having a Dutch door in between the offices. So that can be a huge cost savings. So then really all the other thing we'd have to look at is just doing the front Dutch door. And what was that from Timberline? That was
$1,195.
Yeah.
Because we want to have a mail slot with a shelf.
Yeah.
This fire department gives us their bills, and right now they slide under the door. When we open the door and we step on them. And then I did ask Timberline to scale down the desk that I would like. So he did give a new quote on a desk for me. So he's quoting it at $24.62, where in that other two companies quoted the desk that I wanted, one was almost near $9,000 and the other one is $6,000.
What did he scale it down to?
I had him take out the file cabinet drawers, so more just kind of the desk itself and not drawers, because we could just use, you know, little file cabinets that are inexpensive.
What was the cost of that?
The way he had it priced out before, it was like right about $3,000, so he took him about $600 off. You know, then we also were talking about, you know, Jeremy needs a desk and maybe a table and chairs for the meetings in his room, and so just kind of kicking a lot of that around.
So. You know, the other option versus that is, I guess, going the old route of going online and picking out a desk versus, you know, custom, but I think the pluses with custom is, you know, it's going to be good quality. You should have it forever. I mean, are you going to pay for it? So I guess what we're looking direction from council, what their thoughts are, and is we want to do a quality custom desk or do your cheapo $500-$800 desk.
But that's just going to be like this.
Yeah, it's just going to be a square.
It's not going to be a side thing and, you know, right. A couple of things like you think.
What do we budget for this?
Well, I believe we have $6,000.
I don't know if the fire department used all 10 of that other, or there's maybe a thousand or two left to look.
I know that I don't know anything.
We
have
$6,000 and we have what?
24 would be the desk, and then I just ordered a new chair. It was 150.
So what are we at total?
1200 is
1200 for a door, and then probably another 300. We'll put that, cut that out, put that door in.
Why don't you guys put something together?
So they're already at about $5,000.
Put something together and be a little more concrete, so as far as what we're looking to do, that you guys would like to see happen, and then we can kind of clean hard back and forth at that point in time. You know, the only concern that we, you know, we need to think about is, like, you know, how fancy we're going to want to have them. And of course, yeah, we want to keep the photo on just for the time, so we want to have nice stuff as well. Put something together and then you can take a look at it.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to new business on the animal and mountain contract.
So basically what we have with Countryside Vet is an agreement. So if we have a stray dog and we have the CSO come out, pick it up for us, they will bring it to Countryside Vet Clinic to board it. And typically what we do is, if we know whose dog it is, they have to come to City Hall, pay all expenses before, and then they have to have a receipt from us, bring it to Countryside, show that they paid all the fees, and then they'll release their dog. I always hate to bring it up because I'm an animal lover. And the worst case scenario is sometimes we will get stuck with a bill if no one claims it within 5 days. And then they try another, you know, they do what they can, but anybody knows pounds are full. It's very hard to get rid of the animal. But I always try to tell people, a lot of times the end result isn't good if nobody claims it.
So if nobody claims it all, what does it cost the city to get rid of it?
We're talking $250, $300 to have it euthanized.
And the city's got to have, we've got to have an
animal. Yeah.
I seen that there was dogs and then there was dogs and cats, but we don't think cat issue very much.
Used to, but that kind of dissipated.
You know, I got two of them in the house.
Yeah, but that.
That were strays.
Yeah.
And my lovely wife just decided that he can't stay outside anymore.
Jerome brought three to my farm about 3 months ago.
How many dogs are there in the community for a year?
No, maybe. You know, lately, knock on wood, we've been able to find the owners.
Well, I was going to say, the thing is in the small town.
And typically what I try to do, what I try to do, and the CSO is really good about it too, is if we find a dog, we'll say, you want to, before you take it to the countryside, you want to check this person and this person to see if it's their dog. So we kind of, I like to keep the small town friendly feel, but now the third, fourth time, sorry, it's getting impounded.
Yeah.
Right, so you always try to give the one-off warning or, you know, friendly gesture, and then...
Well, we're going to get stuck is if somebody comes to town and dumps one off.
Yeah.
That's where we'll get stuck.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody's in town, that's just happens to get...
You know, and sometimes, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes it's best just to... see it, keep going.
Yeah. The upside is that we have
an... You know, because hopefully it'll go back home or, you know...
Yeah, the upside is our habitual one that we've seen for a lot of times hasn't gotten out for a while. So that's
no, has it?
I added into the newsletter I'm about to hopefully send out. I'll let you guys look at, but I added in there about getting the pet licensing registered here at City Hall. It's just $10 for a year. But if then that we have, that way we have a description of the dog. It's going to be easier for us to match, come up with the owner, call them. You know. It really has not been an enforced thing to have the dog's licensed, but you know, if we do find a dog that's stray and we figure out whose it is, we could almost, I don't know, can't make them, I guess, license it with us, but we can strongly recommend that they...
Well, usually for them to get it back and make sure they get a license.
Yeah, it's only $10,
you know? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they have to have one to get a rabies shot and everything else.
Yeah, technically supposed to, yes.
So we need a motion to approve the contract?
Yes, so two things, just dogs and cats or dogs only. What do we want to deal with? How do we want to...
I think we just dogs only.
Yeah, we really haven't had...
Cats and cats. I just know that one deal there was a lot of cats.
Yeah.
So is there a motion then?
Yeah, I'll make that a motion.
Is there a second?
Just with the dogs, second.
So a motion has been made to approve the animal impound contract as dogs only, and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Estimates from full sweeping?
Yeah, so basically, we had this in budget, about $1,000, but Kohl's will do it for $895. Last time we did it was 2007.
Make a motion and we do it.
Okay.
So moved and seconded to have Kohl's sweeping paint the city curbs and parking lots. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Fast vote.
Okay, so if you haven't heard or haven't been in the park through the grapevine, we had some kids. We haven't been able to identify them yet. I'm still kind of waiting for a follow-up from the policing department. To see if they have any more leads, but haven't heard nothing. So basically what we figure happened is this was probably on the 30th of March, somewhere in there, 29th, 30th. They took some rocks from the railroad tracks and were throwing them at the backboard, and they went through. If you want the pictures, I can gladly, you know, show you tonight or email them to you. But we did file a police report. And we have turned it into insurance. So. And right now I'm trying to just see if we can't just get a backboard, you know, versus buying a whole new system. Deductible's $250. So as of right now, you know, city would be up $250 to replace it. Unless council has any objections, we'll look forward to getting it replaced because they do get used a lot. There are a lot of kids down there. It's been a huge plus.
I'm surprised we haven't heard from anybody because there's some kids that are really mad down there because nobody can.
Oh yeah, there is.
Yep. And I'm surprised that they haven't just gone, oh, you know, kids out here, go out, don't find them.
Yep.
Well, I did get the pictures from Jeremy, and I did post them on Facebook and kind of put a plea out to the community. I didn't send Carrie a video, sorry. I did have one of the residents, or one of our citizens stop by and give us some information, which I've passed on to Jeremy, and Jeremy's passed on to the CSO. So we'll see if that leads to anything. I don't know. Again, it's, you know, you got kids saying things about other kids, and we just...
Yeah. I've heard names, kids, but, yeah. You know.
You like to believe everybody's going to say the truth, but... So hopefully we get some resolution to that.
You know, and then we also have, you know, just touch base on another issue we had is some talk on social media, too, about some kids running back and forth, dodging in and out of traffic down by the apartment. So I believe the CSO went down there and tried to address that with the people in the apartments there on Park Avenue. So.
I vouch for that because it was Thursday night. One from on the skateboard, and he was playing chicken with my nose.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I heard they were doing.
He was on the skateboard, and I slowed down and rolled down the window, and I said, you shouldn't be doing that. I said, it's not good for you.
Your odds aren't good.
It's not good for you, because I'm going to win, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So, on the CSO, do they go back into the baseball park?
Oh, they can, yeah.
You should, because... There's some guy that kind of walked by me, and he was kind of weird, and then that's back from Schmitz, and Schmitz said he was sitting underneath the, he was sitting there.
And, and what I always tell people, the best thing to do is call the cops. I know people don't want to do it, but you can call anonymous and get that word out to people. You know, because what I hate is it going to social media, and then there is some rumors about, why ain't the council doing nothing about this? Well, if we don't know about it, you know, how can the council do something about things? So I've tried to get the word out, and I think, did we put that in the flyer if you see something?
I did last time.
Well, I think we should probably just add it again. You know, if you see something, call. Because the cops come and talk to me, and it's a day later, you know, could be too late. So I really emphasize for people to call it in, especially the CSO. They can just have a CSO come out, and I can have them patrol.
They always kind of go back there, and I haven't really seen it.
And they usually stop in, so we'll. Oh yeah, we got them for another issue, so I'll talk to them about just monitoring the baseball park. Because we usually talk to them too, especially with baseball kicking off with the kids, too, to monitor it that way too. So, yeah.
Part-time summer help.
All right, so. Eventually here we're going to get temperatures warm up and enough rain and grass is going to be growing. Mel said he would cut for us again. So basically just kind of looking, probably start in May, we were thinking. You know, well, or when the grass takes off. So we kind of figured it'd probably be May before Greg would need help. Mel's been with us 2 years now, last two summers. We've had him at $10 an hour, so... Basically, what I'm looking at is just a motion to rehire Mel Springler, and if we want to do it at the same rate, or the council wants to consider an increase in his hourly rate. Currently, he's at $10.
And how many hours a week?
15.
$15 a week.
Yeah, typically on average.
We did that in the budget.
Up to $10.50, yeah. But we need a motion on it just because we put it in the budget. We can't. I mean, so.
Part of whoever makes up. If we want to bring Mel back on, part of the motion we want to make is what our pay would be for
that. Right. But we did budget it at $10.50 an hour. This would be Mel's third year, third summer.
Does he just cut grass?
He helps Greg with odds and ends too, yes.
Well, I make a motion to hire him back.
Motion on the floor to bring Mel back for the part-time summer help at $10.50 an hour. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. City Council reports. Councilman Buckington. Councilman Tracy?
I don't have anything.
Councilman Trevish.
I think we should put on the
signed on the part that about their bank board. If anybody knows anything, that they should come forward with that or something. But all the way we're going to get that money back is, you know, like through the insurance, maybe, but all you're going to do is raise taxes. My thought was take the other one down, let them spoil. That's my thought. They want to sit down there and throw the rocks and break the shit and, you know, and suffer with it.
Well, the bad thing is that, Steve, it's just maybe one or two kids that's ruining it
and right.
For the rest of them. And that does get used a lot. I mean, you see them playing down there all the time. And that's great for the community. At least they're not doing drugs or fighting or gangs or something else, you know, so they're keeping themselves occupied. It's just too bad, but it's probably one or two bad.
You know, the good thing, it's the first time we've had an issue and they've been there 10 years, almost, so.
But I mean, you might find out who did it again, too. But that's my thoughts. I don't know, man. Whatever. And it is the first time something like that has happened.
Yeah. I mean, we've had graffiti in the park, obviously, and break-ins at the baseball park, but.
Councilman Feldman.
I was approached when this happened down there that there was somebody that, and I think he'd be willing to donate money. I'd have to check with him again, but if we could put some cameras up down there, just regular trail cameras.
We've talked about that in the past.
I mean, I think Greg can find places that you could hide fairly decent. They're pretty hard to, unless you're absolutely looking for them. You can put them up in a tree or whatever, and they'll, I know we just bought a bunch for the company, and I think they run us about $160 a can with the chip, and that's a good camera. It's just a trail camera, and something Greg would have to replace batteries every once in a while, but I think it takes like 40,000 shots or something like that, which probably seems like a lot, but probably won't take them to get 40,000 with all the activity that's going on, but. At least you have something to maybe just buy maybe one or two and just try it.
And move them around.
I know and Brad has mentioned something to me that he'd like to see them up by the
Memorial
field thing too.
We talked about especially around the memorial in years past. One of our challenges there is where do you place that camera so no one can see it and monkey with it.
Or steal it.
And so the thought was, well, we could do it across the street, but then you really get a good shot at what's going on down there. And
I think we should maybe have Greg take a look at it and where the lights are mounted in that. Maybe we could make a bracket or something, put it right on the bottom so that it's looking right down. And if it's still behind us, I mean, Greg might have to drag out a ladder or something to help him, but. When we get this basketball hoop too, I told him that. I said, don't try to do it by yourself. He said, give us a call.
Yeah, that's a two-man job. When we put him up, it was three of us, so.
So I told him that. Just let me know and I'll come to help him.
And then, Jeremy, while we're thinking about maybe possibly getting those cams, you just want to research what we would need to do with those photos? What's our liability? What do we have to store them? Do we keep them? Where do we have to keep them? How does that all work out? Who sees them? Stuff like that. So we don't get any. I don't want to invade anybody's privacy or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
And the other question was is. Thank you for putting this together for me, Jeremy. Caught me up to date a little bit on what had gone on. Do you think it would be, it's public knowledge, ain't it, that we would send maybe something out to all the taxpayers in the town, assuring them that there was nothing that was going on in the city council, or how do you, these guys were on here.
Just my opinion is, don't even give that guy a time of day.
Just leave it late?
That's my concern.
Okay.
Because... Knock on wood. You know, he's got things on his website, but I don't care. He can put what he wants, but I think it, less ammunition or any attention You give that guy his better.
I'm surprised that you never heard anything about what I told you when that day was
going. Yeah.
That he just sat up there in front of the city office.
Yeah. Well, there too, if he wants to know, I mean, he can play games because that's put on the agenda and it's put on the city website. He can see my days off. It was a scheduled day off that he was up here, so.
Okay, then we'll just, then let's just leave that alone.
That's my opinion. I don't know the rest of
the council. That's fine. I just want to get it from you guys first. Like, sometimes
I think Scotty, I think there'd be some residents that might get upset if we even bring something up with him anymore.
And we'll leave it going.
Anything else?
No.
I already kind of touched on a little bit earlier, the Carver County leaders meeting that we had the other week, the big topic was that taxation thing and that. Like I say, they weren't able to answer the questions that we asked that I tried to follow up on here. They still couldn't answer the questions. So hopefully maybe at the open forum, maybe they'll have answers and we'll find out. At the end of the day, there's two that aren't seeking re-election ever again, and one that is pretty secure in his seat, so they only need three of them. The other two are up for re-election here shortly, and they're going to probably rerun, so the other three can give the other two cover. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what goes on with that. Yeah, I don't have anything for that, so I entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved and seconded to adjourn the city council meeting at 9:11. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.